Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
You are listening to the Investor Resources Live radio program. It is a call-in show, so we have a magic number for you to access the program and be on the air in the Puget Sound. The number is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. You want to talk about the market? Should be something to talk about over there.
Little here, little there, yep.
Your portfolio recommendation that your friendly financial advisor on the down on the street corner building. I mean, I hope he's not standing on the street corner.
But it's a bad sign probably, there. Yeah.
Yeah,
not a good look.
Yeah, he's in the office down on the corner. Anyway, he's made a recommendation and you're not quite sure what to do with it. Should you consider or should you pass? I mean, you can call us and give us a chat. We'll see if we can come up with some guidance for you. Anyway, that number is 800-465-8770. And the end of the year is rapidly approaching as you turn around and look at all the holiday decorations that are up. It's hard to miss the idea that we have just about run out of time in 2022. So to prepare for next year, we have scheduled our stock market update webinar for the first Saturday of January, and that's on the 7th. So we'll actually have a few extra days to get ready for it. You can register for that at irradio.com. irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar, a couple of clicks, your name and your email address, and you'll be all set. Well, one of the things that if we look back over the last several years, not just 2022, but last several years since the beginning of the pandemic, there have clearly been an unexpected amount of conditions that changed and just things in general that are radically different. One of the things that happened with the pandemic was the government largesse just doled out tons of money. And then told people, nah, you can't go to work, can't go to school. Well, there's some exceptions if we like your what you do. But generally, people had to stay home. And a lot of the younger generation said, look at this. I don't have to make student loans anymore. I don't have to pay rent. And the government's paying me. How about that? What am
Happy
I going
days,
to do?
Yeah.
What to do? Well, they turned into stock day traders. Yep. They had been listening to all of the buy the dip news. And then Robinhood came to the market to rescue them, allowing individual investors to buy small amount of shares without having to pay a transaction fee.
And they could do it on their phone. That was a really big deal.
Oh, that's right.
Not to be discounted. If you could just walk around and trade on your phone, didn't matter where you are, what you're doing, your trading account was always with you and always ready to go. So that made a huge difference with the number of people that decided, that's probably a good idea. I should probably start doing this.
Well, you know, you're supposed to invest for retirement anyway, so it's better to get started earlier than later. I mean, we've always heard that. So all you had to do if you're walking around on your phone is keep your eyes out for the mask police, because if they saw you without a mask, you were going to be distracted from your trade. Well, there's a new history for all these Robinhood day traders. They have found out that investing is a hard business. And that the market doesn't always go up, regardless of the chart on the back wall of the brokerage office. It also has some pretty significant plunges along the way. And if you want some preparation for what to do, what to expect in 2023, go to our website, iriradio.com. And in the lower left-hand corner, you'll find a place to start your registration process for the January 7th webinar. That's iriradio.com. Well, there was a recent article out of Bloomberg that went back to a lot of these Robinhood traders and must have done some sort of survey to gather all this data. And the truth, the painful truth, came to the surface. A young man named Joseph, he just basically gave up. He was willing to stick it out while the global markets were devaluing his stock investments. He moved to crypto because that was the inflation protection. Yep, that didn't work out too well.
That was the new age safe haven. Yeah, move to crypto. That's stable. It's safe. That's going to go up, right? Right? It always goes up.
It's the new currency. Yep, you won't need dollars anymore because we're going to suck them up. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, he worked for a life insurance company, day trading in 2020 while he was stuck at home. Got to do something. Stocks look interesting, and besides which, I can turn on the TV and there'll always be somebody there telling me what's going on.
Correct.
So it's just going to invest a little extra money, not my life savings. Except prices get cheaper and it's a better bargain, so we just put a little more in.
And you know,
pretty typical.
It's so startling for people like that when it's like, you know, when your experience and the experience of everyone you know has never seen a bear market, a tough down market, they don't know what that is and they don't know how to deal with it. And that really gets tough, and there's just no avoiding it sometimes, but you may not even know it's there. So that's difficult.
I had a couple of phone conversations with a couple of our boomer clients in the last week or two. And we're discussing the current environment, and having lived through the 70s with inflation and Carter and Paul Volcker and the mess that we were in at the time. Well, I have to include Nixon because he contributed to the problem. But today's investor, for the most part, has no clue. I have my granddaughter, my youngest granddaughter, was born in 2000. So, or 2001, right. What's her frame of reference as far as the economy and the markets are concerned? Mm. Well, by the time she got into adolescence, it's good times. It's not, high inflation. What's that? I mean, we've never seen it before. It doesn't happen, does it? I mean, that's Germany. I read about it in my history books.
I saw it in a book. Yeah, that's it.
That's right. Anyway, the route that has come for these retail traders who were chasing stocks like GameStop and AMC, Bed Bath & Beyond, these are companies that were on the verge of going out of business, and hedge funds had major bets that they would go out of business. They were on margin, which is not uncommon for hedge funds, so they had massive bets. And all of a sudden, these young kids show up and they start saying, well, look at that. They think that they're short. Let's ruin their short. And they piled on and they destroyed a number of hedge funds. There was one, I don't remember the name of it offhand, but they lost $1 billion because of these inexperienced investors taking a position against them and running the stock back up while the hedge fund was betting it would go to bankruptcy court. Anyway,
that was Melvin Capital Management.
There we go.
They lost billions of dollars.
So here we are now with these small investors, first-time investors, shaking their heads and saying to themselves, the market always goes up. How come it's not doing it for me? I was having so much fun. I had a lot of money, and then I quit watching, and I lost it all. Or they lost almost all of it. and they've walked away from the market, which is a bit of a problem for professional investors. They don't miss having these young kids wandering around recklessly in the marketplace, but retail investors provide liquidity. They buy stuff that the professionals don't want to mess with because they look cheap or whatever their reasons are. But that liquidity is important. From a regulator standpoint, having this cohort of inexperienced investors out of the market is going to save an awful lot of aspirin.
Correct.
The regulators.
That's a big headache that's gone.
Yep. Yeah, it's a whole lot of stuff they don't have to go check and spend audit time on. They can look at things more serious like Ponzi scheme in crypto. That's a much more serious problem than some young kids chasing GameStop.
Yeah, right.
So all those young kids who were in stocks that collapsed, they went to crypto, and it's collapsed. Yeah, it's going to be a while before they come back to the market, and the market needs liquidity. Part of the reason that it's not rising right now is we don't have a volume of buyers. And until that volume returns, new highs are not in the cards near term. We do have, from day to day, we have an abundance of sellers, but even that from a volume standpoint is not that big. In fact, I just addressed that in my end of week risk on risk off report,
right,
that volume has been low, below average for some time. And you don't get an advancing market when nobody shows up to buy anything. So if you're frustrated with where we are this year in the market, right now, I'd have to say that frustration is probably going to continue into next year. Unless we see a catalyst that is a massive magnet for investors to say, the opportunity of my lifetime has returned and I'm going to put everything in the market.
And that does happen. That happens in down markets. That's when people eventually will say, you know what, this is worth the risk to enter now. It's just that right now the headwinds are too strong. The Fed's still increasing rates. Inflation is still high. Markets are still right now just kind of trading on headlines. There's no really strong trends out there. And it's really tough for people to say, well, yeah, I think I should take a significant chunk of my life savings and drop that on the market right now. So that's, like I said, Don, that's why we're not seeing new highs. That's why the liquidity is drying up, because people are a little hesitant right now to say now's the time. There's just too many negatives out there right now. And that's probably correct. Like, this is probably going to follow through till next year. We've got some more things to unfold in the economy. We've got inflation to get under control. We've got the Fed to finally max out wherever they're going to max out on interest rates. After that, we're going to see things stabilize. And that's when there's going to be some really upside potential, but it didn't happen yet, and we don't know when that's going to happen. And betting on that can be painful. So we tend to wait for those trends to show up, and then move in afterwards. That's our style, and we're sticking to it. We are right up against our first break of the morning here. I'd like to remind everyone we have our first of the year January market update webinar on the schedule. That's on scheduled for Saturday, January 7th, 9:00 in the morning. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Just go to the webinar page and give that registration link a click, and you'll get an email back. And then on January 7th, you just click that link and you're going to be live online with us. You can see the charts we're talking about. You can see what we're thinking about the economy. We're going to talk about what we're doing with client portfolios. And then we always have plenty of time to answer your questions. So if you have questions about the new year, about where we think we're going, or even about individual security, should they be in your portfolio or not, it's a really good time to get a second opinion. Go ahead and register now, and you'll be good to go for January 7th. Again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. If you've got a question for us here this morning, we'd love to talk to you. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours. What the sun and the flowers.
You're listening to Investor Resources Live radio program. You want to call us today and talk about the market or your portfolio. The number is 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. And so this last, not the week we just wrapped up, but the week prior to that, we had the S&P 500 breaking through the 200-day moving average, and it closed there 3 days in a row. In order for us to shift from bear market to bull market, we needed to hang on to that, and it failed. So this week has been completely closing underneath the 200 SMA, simple moving average. That could change. We don't know what will drive it there, but if we're looking for new highs, we have to see it make that cross once again and actually hold more than 3 days. But there's one other factor that goes along with this, not just getting above the 200 moving average. The moving average needs to turn from down to up, and that requires more time. So even if we get a Santa Claus rally, that moving average is not going to change direction, which means you need to be defensive at least early in the next year. And that's where our portfolios are currently positioned. You want to talk about your portfolio? It's 800-465-8770. Larry Summers is a well-known economist. He's worked for a number of different Democrat administrations. And he gets a lot of press because he's got a great bio. So he's on the he's on a program this week and said, quote, at a certain point, consumers run out of their savings, and then you have Wile E. Coyote where consumption falls off a cliff. And once you get into a negative situation, there's an avalanche that follows, end quote.
Well, it's kind pretty of good. Pretty good visual there, yeah.
Yeah,
if you're of a certain age, yeah, you'll understand the Wile E. Coyote reference. So,
yeah, we anybody who was boomers or close to it remembers those cartoons on Saturday morning. But it raises an issue in that the lower income brackets don't drive the economy, and they do generally still have savings left over from the stimulus programs, whether it was federal or state. So they are increasing credit card usage, so that credit card debt, it becomes problematic when they run out of money. But it's not them running out of money that's going to cause the economy to go into recession. The people who drive the economy are the upper income people. They have surplus. And as long as they have surplus and they're confident about what's happening, they still spend money. And they right now they've got a lot of what's called the wealth effect, though it's a little less wealthy than it was the last December. It's still big.
It is big. And, you know, Don, we just had a really good example of that going through the COVID economy. People were wondering, okay, if nobody's going to work, why is consumer spending staying up so high? What's going on? And the lesson was, well, the people that are losing their jobs are the people that spend the least anyway. And people at the high end, they weren't affected. They weren't getting stimulus money to begin with. So it had nothing to do with the stimulus. It had nothing to do with people not going to work, because they still were, and they were still spending. So the top 20% of households is really what drives consumer spending, and they don't get hurt much by this. And so it's important to remember that that's still true today.
So what will be the catalyst? And it's the one that Mr. Powell and the Fed are trying to engineer, and that is a slowing economy that forces employers to lay off people. When jobs go away, financial security psychologically diminishes rapidly. If I don't have a job, I don't have a paycheck, how am I going to keep the household together? Take care of the wife, the kids, the mortgage, the car payments, let the car go back, do with one car instead of two, get rid of the motorcycle that sits in the garage waiting for a sunny day. I may start doing cutbacks. And when that starts happening in broad numbers, then the economy will slow down because businesses close their doors. And that is why the Fed is trying to raise interest rates, is to bring on the conditions that jobs are eliminated, which will reduce demand. That sounds sick, doesn't it?
And that is the stated goal. That is where they're heading. And that is, you know, as cruel as it sounds, that is what needs to happen to slow the economy down. And that is what will tame inflation, and not much else will. So that's why the Fed has said they are so laser focused on inflation and nothing else. They don't care about the stock market. They don't care about the GDP numbers. They don't care about jobs numbers. They want all of those to be decreasing. They're not really concerned about how much. They just need those to all go down so inflation will come with it. Because while inflation appears to may have stopped going up, it's not really in full decline by any measure. And so they're not really satisfied with the progress they've made so far.
So there is one thing that everybody knows about financial forecast, and that is they aren't worth a toothpick.
They're almost surely going to be wrong. Yeah, that's what you know.
They're not even worth a poke in the eye. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less next year. And so the recessionary forecasts, while we address them because they're the headlines, I mean, it seems like anybody on financial media is talking about the recession. Nobody knows if it's going to happen. And the real bottom line is that the Fed can't change the supply chain problems. And they're
correct.
Better, but they're not resolved. The second largest economy in the world, China, is struggling. Well, it would not be good news if they went into a recession and we did too. That would really crimp global economy.
Commerce.
But
sure.
We don't know that. Yep. We don't know that. We don't know when people are going to run out of enough money and savings to say, hey, you know, I think I'll go get a job instead of staying home and trying to recover my crypto account. And we don't know any of that stuff. So all we can do as we move into next year is say, this is the plate that's in front of me. What am I going to do with it?
Right.
And you deal with reality. That's where we are. You don't know what the forecast is. Now, basically, most financial advice is, since you don't know the future, look at the past. And they lie. The market has always gone up, so just keep buying cheap, and eventually it'll all work out. But then again, your time frame may not be eventually.
People and don't think about how long that could be. That could be a very, very long time. Too long, especially if you're already in retirement or you already have that money pegged for a goal in the next few years, you know, still a few years away. You may not make it if you just wait for it to straighten itself out. You may need to take action on your own and not take that huge hit and just ride the market down. Don't forget all those talking heads telling you to stay the course, long-term investor. Don't look at the short term. Everything's going to be fine. Those are salespeople. They're selling you an idea. They don't want you to move your money. They don't want you to change your investment. They want you to just leave it alone and buy some more. And so that's what they're preaching. But that's not because it's in your best interest. It's because it's in their best interest. And you need to keep that, remember that.
So to prepare for next year and get a current view of what's happening in the market, register for our January webinar. Go to iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar. Click on that, your email and your name, and you will get a registration link to put you into the webinar when we start on January 7th at 9 a.m. I looked at the review from this month's webinar.
Yes.
And so we ask people to evaluate our content on a scale of 1 to 10 and to evaluate our performance in terms of preparing and delivering the material. We didn't get a single person responding to that webinar, and most of them did. that was below an eight. There were a couple of eights in there, but most of them were nines and ten. These webinars are not a sales pitch to convince you to send us money. They Correct. Are an educational process to help you understand what's going on. And if you need our help, we are available. And if you're doing it yourself, our intent is to make you smarter so that it works better for you. So register at IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Let's take our break, Perry.
Yep, we really do like smart clients. It makes our job easier when everyone is on the same page and everyone understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. So, again, they are highly educational and aligned directly with the way we see the markets working. So it's a real positive thing for us anyway. I'd like to remind everyone, we do have a weekly email newsletter also, The Week in Review. It's a pretty good look at the week's economic news. Give you an idea about what's really important and things that you really probably don't have to worry about that you may be hearing a lot about. If you'd like to begin receiving that, you need to send us an email. Send that to help@iriradio.com. That is help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line and give us your first and last name. We will get you in the system, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. They go out most Mondays. Again, if you'd like to talk to us here this morning, give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Detour, there's a muddy road ahead, detour. Paid no mind about it.
Boy, that's sure what it looks like right now.
There's
no real clear sign on the road ahead. There are a lot of flagmen standing up saying, you know, prepare to stop, caution, slow down, take a look at what's going on here. You're going through a construction zone, or you're going across the mountains and the road's closed because of the snow that slipped down off the mountaintop. But as we look at all those things right now, we're sitting there scratching our head and saying, well, it couldn't have been worse, could it? Well,
that's a dangerous question to ask these days. Yeah.
Now that you mention it, in fact, yeah. It could have been worse. It's been a tough year for investors. There's no doubt. It's been a tough year for professionals. Everything that you thought you knew, probably because we haven't seen some of the conditions in so long.
Right.
We didn't put two and two together quickly enough. But we're dealing with the highest inflation in four decades. As we pointed out in an earlier segment, many of today's investors weren't even born when we were dealing with inflation that was greater than we're dealing with today.
Correct. And we've never seen it as an investor. Correct.
We think this 7-8% is bad. Well, what if it was double, which it was? And we think gasoline above $3 is bad. Well, if we go back and look at the financial collapse back in 2008, and we just add modest inflation to it, we have the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We have an administration that doesn't want us to use our own resources. Gasoline.
That's a whole different show. Yeah.
Gasoline,
we could do a whole show on that.
Gasoline should be somewhere around 5.5, 560, 565, something like that. So it could be worse, and we have all these economic conditions. I would not expect to see gasoline continue dropping very much at this point in time. Probably have to get to live with $3 and higher for an extended number of years. We need a large supply to come back to the marketplace. We've had the safety valve for most people's portfolio has been bonds. That's how we're going to protect your account so you don't lose any sleep.
And it
has never had a losing year this bad in recorded financial history in the United States. Now, ancient history, maybe in some ancient civilization, the bond market collapse for whatever it was. But since we've had Wall Street around, bonds have never had a year this bad. So your safety valve had a hole in the boat. and it was sinking almost as much as your stock portfolio was.
That's the problem. Yeah, it was the drawdown was almost as big as the stock side of the portfolio. So they were both going down together, and that's just something that doesn't usually happen, especially to this degree.
And we have the Federal Reserve celebrating every time the stock market tanks. You see, what are they, anti-American?
It's true. Yeah, right. They do have different goals than we have. That's right.
And they're part of the top 1%. So, I mean, as far as their lifestyle is concerned, it doesn't affect them, but maybe politically. So they're pushing interest rates up, hoping to stop the market rise, because a rising market creates confidence among consumers and investors. It's the wealth effect. We've got the war in Ukraine. We have the slowdown in the housing market. Now, it hasn't collapsed yet, though, in Canada. The news is much, much worse than it is here. And then, of course, the new inflation hedge, the new asset class, cryptocurrencies, facing bankruptcies and a Ponzi scheme, the main culprit here, unlike Mr. Madoff, who was in jail within 11 days, SBF, who put together the FTX Ponzi scheme. Right. He's still floating around in his multi-million-dollar mansion over in the Bermuda. And nobody in the Congress seems to want to do anything about it. They're going to ask him some questions, but I don't think he's going to show up in the United States for that. I bet that's on
Zoom. He'll be happy to be online. That's right. He's not coming
here.
Right. And that's not an accident. That's well planned on his part. That's why he wasn't here in the first place. He knew what was going on. Oof.
Well, so where are we as far as moving into this next year? Value stocks remain a better place to be. Value stocks are typically ones where the financial statement of the company is in much better shape, much more conservatively run. It's a kind of company that would be in a Warren Buffett screen.
Correct.
If he was looking for something.
That's being largely driven by the interest rate increases. All of a sudden, people who didn't care about whether the fundamentals of the company looked well or not, meaning are they making money or not, it was just, are they growing? If they're getting bigger, we'll just sacrifice the fundamentals and take the market share. That's when money was cheap. When money's expensive, we need some results. And all of a sudden, you need a company to be profitable. And that's when they start looking at those value stocks. Because like you said, Don, in general, they're in better shape internally on the money side. So they're not as exposed and need more capital and have to continue borrowing money at a continually increasing rate. They can actually ride this out a little bit. So that brings the value stocks to the top. And it's been a while since they've been there.
They're also better off on the labor side.
Yes.
I'm going to come back to that momentarily, but
sure.
The end of the year is right around the corner. Be sure you register for the January webinar. It's on the first Saturday of the month. That's the 7th of January. Go to irradio.com, irradio.com. Lower left corner says webinar. A couple of clicks and you'll be set with your own personal link to log in. If you can't log in on the 7th, you will get a reminder about it. But if you can't log in, you'll get a replay link, and you'll be able to watch it on your own time as often as you want, as you find us entertaining. Anyway, I mentioned the staffing issue. These value companies generally run tight ships, unlike Twitter, which
right.
when Elon Musk bought it, he started firing some key people at the upper levels. But recently, he just laid off 80% of the staff, and the mainstream media and the Democrats were absolutely berserk. The announcement
was
that will collapse the company. Hallelujah. They won't find out the funny games that we played to twist the election around.
That's what they were hoping. Yep.
Well, it turns out that the company Twitter is actually doing better and growing membership with 80% fewer staff. I saw some videos of people working at Twitter video recording their day, which was a workout, a haircut, a manicure, a lunch, drinks in the afternoon, meeting with some friends, and we never did see them actually sit down to work. And if that's
a pretty good day, if you can get it, right? That's not bad. So
if that's the productivity of your staff, you don't need them because they're not helping you make any money. Anyway, one of the other areas is that small cap stocks. Now, when we finally get to a bottom,
yeah,
small cap stocks are where the greatest value is normally found. These are companies that are innovating. They typically have very tightly run staffing issues and overhead. If they don't run a very tight ship, they won't survive, and they know it.
Correct.
That is the area where new innovation is actually found. You don't find it at IBM or Microsoft or Google or Amazon. Now, they're big companies, and they'll do their best to be the gorilla that stomps on the flea, that's biting at their heels. It's an irritation to them because they didn't come up with that great idea. How can we buy it and put it out of business so it doesn't hurt us? Or do we have to live with it?
Right.
But when the market finally finds a bottom, and I would say we haven't had the bottom. We have had several bottoms this year. And then the market rallies, it retraces to another newer low. So what we're concerned about right now, having breached the 200 moving average for the S&P, and we're now retreating. If this doesn't bounce up here and stay above the 200 moving average by Christmas, we're probably headed back to a level that is lower than the October low. And on our charts, that low was one big candle that dropped, and all of a sudden money flowed in and it started an upswing, which is now rolling over. Will it continue to do that? We don't know. The rollover could be quick and deep. It could take a couple of months, which is what has happened several times this year. The markets
Correct.
Dropped, rallied, dropped lower, rallied, dropped lower, and each of those time periods have been 2 to 3 months. Now, history doesn't always repeat itself. So this is not a forecast. It is a possibility that what we could be looking at, since we didn't stay above the 200 moving average, is another couple of months trying to find a bottom in the market. Now, I mentioned small caps. A lot of these small cap companies show signs of revival. And that's a positive, but they don't make up the whole market. So they could be a sign of improving health, that they've had enough bad cod liver oil that they say, and I'm done with that, I am going to get well and
right.
climb up out of this hole and make something of myself.
So the analogy is the patient is getting better, but they haven't been released from the hospital yet. So, you know, we try not to get ahead of ourselves, and that's one reason we don't believe the narrative, which says, you know, the all the lights are green, let's go. You got to watch the market. You got to track the data. You have to see where things are actually going, because, like you said, Don, they could easily roll over. We could see new lows again before we have a real bottom in this market and begin a sustainable retracement back to some new highs.
Thank you, Perry. You really bailed me out of that illustration. I wasn't sure how I was going to wrap it up.
You were actually heading the right way. Yeah, it was perfect. Yeah, it's like you can see all those things, and we love to focus on the things that are doing well. That's what we like to do. It's just important to remember that's not the entire story. There are other things going on, and that doesn't mean everything. You know, the decks are clear and it's time to take off. You still have to be paying attention. And you may need to just be very particular about where your money gets allocated. And it can't be just buy some of everything, because everything might be doing very poorly. So you need to be very focused on where the strength of the market is and very concerned with how long that might last. And you have to be ready to make a change. You have to be adaptive in a market where there are no really strong, sustained trends. And, man, that is where we are right now.
Well, at the worst points, the stock and bond market index funds were down virtually 25 and 17% respectively.
Yeah.
We have not, well, on the bond side, we've never seen a year like this.
No.
Anyway, let's take our next break.
Sure. It's our last break here of the morning. I'd like to remind everyone that our next market update is on the calendar for Saturday, January 7th, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. Again, that's IRIradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and give that registration link a click, and you will be good to go for January 7th. Just click that link. Be live online with us. Be a good time to get a second opinion on anything that you're wondering about as far as investing or the economy goes. It's a very good time to put that question out there and get some feedback on things that have been giving you a sleepless night. It's a good time to do that. Again, you can register for that by going to IRIradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this morning, we have a full segment left, plenty of time to get your question on the board. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Well, that's true in business. It's true in sports. It's true in the market. It's pretty well true in most anything. If you're not strong, it's really hard to survive and hang on, whatever the conditions may be. You are listening to the Investor Resources Live radio program. It's a call-in show. We have open lines, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. You have about 10 minutes left to give us a call in today's session. One of the things that was a surprise coming into the year was the depth of the market falling and the repetitive nature of the decline. The rallies look like, well, I'm not going to have to take aspirin anymore. I'm going to get well. And then I get a fever and I'm back in bed. I feel so sick looking at what's going on. I just don't want to get up in the morning. And you call the doctor for an antidepressant. And it lasts for about 2 months. And then it loses its effect and the market goes down again and you're back in bed. It's just kind of been an unfortunate and unpleasant cycle. But there's one more bad news bear that's about ready to land on the lap of those of you who still own mutual funds in your taxable account. And this is something which, if you're a longtime investor, you have been through before and have probably forgotten about.
Yep.
I'm thinking of 1987. We had a strong market in the first part of the year. And then Black Monday came. I believe that was October 13th. And for the next 90 days until December 3rd, the market just went down and down and down. It's down 30% in 3 months. And it did not recover between the 3rd of December and the 31st. But the tax bill showed up because as the market was changing, managers were rotating their holdings. So at the end of the year, your account was lower than when you started, and you got a 1099 for taxable income because the mutual funds distributed shares or cash, depending upon your election. That's happening again. Hello, IRS.
And many people are wondering, wait a minute, how can that happen? My account's down. How can I have a tax bill attached to that? It doesn't seem to make any sense. It doesn't even seem fair, but that's the nature of mutual funds.
That's right. So this is kind of a salt in the wound year. So it happened in 87, it happened in 90, it happened in 2001, it happened in 2008. This is not a new phenomenon. It is the way mutual funds work. I was on the call with Mark in Waco Friday. And we were going through Schwab's ETFs, exchange-traded funds, and some of them are paying out some pretty good-sized distributions this year. But you're going to get cash out of it, and you probably haven't held them all year, at least not the way we manage accounts. It's the
right.
In a down market, you don't just keep hanging on to things. But if you just recently bought some of these, which we have, then there's some cash that's going to come in. And if you look at your statement, you're going to see this big drop. I mean, you say, what do you just bought this and it just dropped. What on earth are you doing? Well, so the price dropped, but in your account, you have an equivalent amount of cash. So there's a trade-off. When you actually have cash, that's a good thing. Let's see. We have an off-air question. Does it make sense to use a 401k to pay off a rental to increase cash flow for retirement? Probably not. I mean, you are, if you're going to pay off the mortgage, you are going to have to take a lump sum out of your 401k, and that's all going to be taxable. And that's probably going to put you in a higher tax bracket. And when you figure that out, and if you're under 59 and a half, you're going to pay an extra 10% on top of that. So, Janice, you need to talk to your CPA about what your actual tax impact would be. But off the top of my head, the information you left with Andrea on our board operator, that doesn't look like a good decision.
And the closer you get to retirement, cash really becomes king. Once you've accumulated a large amount of cash or any amount of cash, that really is some insurance against the future. And to give that up in exchange for cash flow says you're back into, as if you had a job again, you're back into now saying, well, maybe I can save that back again in retirement. And it gets harder and harder. So it's a difficult decision to give up the cash to pay down another debt.
But our recommendation is go talk to your CPA and let them do a workup.
Got to run some numbers. Yep.
On your particular situation, because your tax liability right now may be 20%, but the amount that you take out of the 401k may very well push you into a much higher bracket. One of the things that is affecting the market and the economy is Fed Chair Jay Powell, has signaled that he has some minor genetic structure in his brain that looks a bit like a dove. And he's not going to be as aggressive as the hawk that he has been represented to be with regard to raising rates. And as a result, we got a nice little rally, which is now fizzling out. Because the real question is, with the inflation numbers that came in this last week, doesn't look like inflation's slowing. So is he really going to be able to reduce the rate of increase? Because increasing interest rates aren't going away. He said so, and various
Correct.
Other regional Fed presidents have said, we're not stopping. And higher interest rates are a problem for bonds, and they're a problem for especially growth stocks and technology.
Indeed. Yep.
So if they're going to keep raising rates, where is the math to justify higher stock prices and higher bond prices? Well, part of that's your vision for the future. If you're investing in bonds, as many are now, getting a 4% return, and you are willing to tie the money up for 2, 3, 4 years or longer, that's, you know, that's part of your plan. That's okay. That's a different scenario than saying interest rates are going to be even higher over the next year, and the bonds I buy today will be worth less money, but I got my 4%. Okay. You know, that's a trade-off.
Correct.
And somebody has to make that decision. You can do it. We can do it. You hire somebody, you talk to your accountant, you talk to your financial advisor, and figure out which makes the most sense for you. But Mr. Powell has suggested that we aren't going to see any more 75 basis point or 0.75% rate increases. But then if inflation comes in even higher, it's not off the table.
Now
it is
what?
Still an
right.
option.
Correct.
Yeah. So we simply don't know. And nor does he. But as you pointed out in an earlier segment, the Fed can't do anything about slowing the economy through anything but demand destruction. If he can make business conditions so bad that people get laid off, that will reverse the inflationary problem. He can't change the supply chain. That problem's got to be solved by businesses.
And it's out of his control, right?
Yeah. And to some extent, government, if they get out of the way. But even that, costs are going to be higher. We have Apple, who has, I mean, he's at least giving word of mouth saying they're going to reduce their reliance on China. I mean, their biggest iPhone plant is Foxconn in China.
In China, right.
And the Chinese government put a zero COVID lockdown on the plant. They had people rioting in the plant, trying to get out. And they were having to fight guards, the Chinese, I don't know if it was the army, but they've got a COVID
just trying
guard
to go home. Yeah.
Right.
Unreal.
And so Tim Cook says that they're looking at some other countries. One of those processes is onshoring or nearshoring, bringing production back to the United States or maybe to Latin America. And that is that's going to raise the cost of production, which means we're going to right. have higher costs anyway, the less we rely upon China, who should be viewed as a significant competitor to freedom. And actually, that's one thing. I've already prepared some part of this for the January webinar, is the massive change in world dominance between the United States and China, and which country actually has the most impact on what happens globally. You need to register for this webinar. You will be shocked at how much we have given up as a free and independent country just to keep prices down. And you're going to have to ask yourself, is that really what I want to have
happen? Is it worth it? Right.
It is it worth it? That's right. Register for the webinar on January 7th. Go to IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar. A couple of clicks, name and email. You'll be registered. If you can't attend, you'll get a replay link. If you want to talk to us during the week, free number is 800-317-9119. 800-317-9119. You can request a copy of our weekend review by sending an email to help@iriradio.com. We're gone here. God bless you, your family, United States of America.